I love talking about gut health. And the more I learn as a health coach, the more I research health, wellness, weight loss, some of the things that are impacting me, you know, what are some of the things that are impacting my immune system and inflammation within my body, it often comes down to the gut and gut health. So today's segment is in response to this series that I've been doing, starting off with autoimmune disorder, actually, which started out as a discussion on brain fog because I had COVID and brain fog. Just started this rabbit hole of information on inflammation in our body, our immune system, and some of those problems that are just, they're so prevalent in the population. They're affecting so many of us. The last segment I did was on histamine intolerance, which is another one that kind of goes into that category of, you know, what's inflaming us, what's causing our immune system to get triggered. And, you know, it's great. Our immune system is so complex and so magnificent in what it does for our bodies, but there are things that are making it work against us in some ways. So that is really what has led me to this discussion, because we want to promote, we want to have better overall health in ways that maybe don't require us to have a diagnosis before we start addressing them. So we can sometimes have these kind of strange symptoms that have been going on for years. And, you know, like I said, maybe in other episodes, they may not be things that your doctor is going to identify as a problem, but could be developing as a problem. And this has been my perspective and kind of the way I see things. I think it's really, really important to get things checked out. Obviously, if you have any question in your mind about a medical issue or a health issue, you should always make sure that things are okay. And doctors are really good at making sure that you're okay, right? But there are things, and this was my experience, you know, my blood sugar levels, my A1C levels were okay, but they were trending higher over many years. I was developing insulin resistance. I know this. I wasn't diagnosed with it, but I know this. And when I started to address some of those issues, I started to feel better. Weight came off more easily. And I think there's also a similar case for some of these other things that are causing inflammation in our bodies that aren't necessarily diagnosable yet. Or maybe they are, in which case, again, you go to your doctor, you make sure things are okay. But there is some gray area where we're symptomatic. Like I said, and you don't feel good. Maybe you're fatigued. You might have some headaches. You go to the doctor. They say you're fine. Maybe they give you some type of medicine to help cope with the symptoms, but you don't really know why all of these things are happening. So this is what has sort of triggered this series of podcasts that I've been doing on the immune system, on histamine. This one I'm talking about, SIBO, which is a diagnosable medical problem. Again, so always make sure that you're treated properly, because SIBO, I will just say, is something that can very effectively be treated with antibiotics. And actually, I believe that that is probably the first line of treatment. So this isn't necessarily something you want to just have a home remedy for and be treated for. But it is really, really important if you have some of these symptoms, because a lot of people are undiagnosed or aren't as symptomatic. And I believe it's 80% of the people with IBS actually have an underlying diagnosis of SIBO. So what is it? Let's get into that, just to arm yourself again with the information so that you can be more empowered to take control over your wellness and your body and feeling good and living a fruitful, fulfilled life. So SIBO is small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. So what happens is your small intestine gets imbalanced with overgrowth of bacteria from your large intestine. So normally you don't have as much, or if any, I don't believe, bacteria in your small intestine. And just some underlying information here. We have bacteria in our gut, which is called our gut microbiome. And there's a very delicate balance of bacteria in there. And when certain bacteria become more prominent and other bacteria die off, are less active or whatever, then we can have symptoms. So again, when something disrupts this delicate balance, we can get overgrown with bacteria that wreaks havoc in our body. And this can cause GI symptoms, an immune response, and that can affect every other organ in our body. So you can think of your gut bacteria as your soil, right? The soil in your garden. And the soil in your garden needs a variety of different things to grow vegetables, right? So it's a similar thing inside your gut. Like you need the proper amount of water and sun and fertilizer, right? And if you put toxic chemicals in there, it may ruin the soil. It may ruin the plants, right? If you have too many bad bugs, your tomatoes may not grow, all of that good stuff. What are some of the signs of SIBO? What are the symptoms that you might experience if you have a problem with SIBO? And this can, there's a range on this from just some GI symptoms to full-blown autoimmune disorder. Some of the symptoms it can create are weight loss, vitamin deficiencies, having a really full feeling after eating, bloating, gas, diarrhea, undigested food due to the imbalances actually causes gases to form inside the intestines. So that can create the bloating and the discomfort and the abdominal pain. Which also can be an effect of just inflammation in the GI tract. You may have, although this is less common, constipation, which is, you know, disrupting your ability to eliminate toxins from your body. So constipation is actually a big problem. Less common though with SIBO. IBS. IBS and some of those inflammatory bowel diseases and the symptoms of SIBO are very similar. And actually, like I alluded to previously, 80% of the people with IBS have SIBO, according to the literature. Food intolerances, wheat gluten, lactose, fructose, histamine, casein. SIBO causes food to kind of sit in the intestine longer. So again, that can cause gases to form in there and that can create bloating and discomfort. Leaky gut, which is just inflammation in the gut lining that creates permeability in the gut wall. So this allows undigested food particles and possibly even foreign material to enter the bloodstream. And this triggers an immune response in the body. SIBO is also linked with chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, and all of those other autoimmune disorders. And that's where this is sort of coming from when I was talking about autoimmune diseases, because if you have an autoimmune disease and you have some of these GI symptoms, then looking at SIBO as a possible link in that is really, really helpful. So that would be a conversation that I would have if I was, you know, suffering from both of those problems with my medical provider. Risk factors for SIBO, any kind of gastric surgery, it seems, or any injury or disease that affects the small intestine, any one of those can make you or put you at a higher risk for developing SIBO, having diabetes, having gastroparesis, related to diabetes. So high blood sugar levels is implicated in slowing the body's ability to digest food. So regulating blood sugars has actually been shown to help with that. And celiac disease. Fat malabsorption. So if there is a deficiency in bile acids, that can impact your ability to absorb fats in the body, to digest them properly, and that can create vitamin deficiencies. Rosacea and other skin reactions. These release cytokines by the immune system, and that is the reason for the skin reactions. and nutrient deficiencies. Like I alluded to before, you could have a malabsorption problem, which can lead to nutrient deficiencies, but this can also kind of put you at a higher risk for developing SIBO. So some of the vitamins that are implicated are vitamin A, B12, D, and E. And when the gut, again, is deficient at breaking things down and absorbing these vitamins, that can also lead to nutrient deficiencies. Testing is available. So these are ways that it can be diagnosed. And again, really should be going to your medical provider. So a licensed doctor or a nurse practitioner or someone who is qualified to order these tests for you. But you can do a breath test. They have urine testing and stool testing to see if you have SIBO. So lastly, I just want to throw out there some of the ways that SIBO is approached in order to overcome it. And this is something that people can have relapses with. So sometimes the first go around doesn't quite do the job. It does reoccur in a little less than half of the people with it. But the first method is to starve the overgrowth. So do not feed the bacteria that are problematic. And you can do that by eliminating sugar, alcohol, and certain carbs like certain fruits, starchy vegetables, grains, and legumes. A low FODMAP diet is sometimes followed, kind of eliminating lactose and fructose. Second is, you know, a doctor will often prescribe antibiotics. And actually, this again is probably the most effective way to address SIBO. And these antibiotics actually attack the bacteria and the biofilm disruptors. So they actually, these bacteria create this thick film in your intestines that make it very, very resistant to getting rid of. So there are medications that help disrupt that biofilm. And in fact, it was kind of interesting. I was reading about this berberine, magnesium, and then there's some extracts that are actually very beneficial for helping to disrupt this biofilm. I thought that was kind of interesting. Berberine is also really helpful in managing blood sugar levels. And then the third step in this process would be to restore beneficial gut bacterial overgrowth. And it was really interesting. So I was reading on this and, you know, this is literature that I got from, I believe it was Amy Myers, MD.com. And she proposes that lactobacillus and bifidobacterium, which are common in probiotics, may actually exacerbate symptoms. So that was kind of interesting. So probiotics may be beneficial, but not all probiotics may be beneficial. Some may actually make the symptoms worse. And according to her, the soil-based probiotics are more effective. So that is my little spiel on SIBO. I hope it helped. This is kind of a quick episode. But I think it's really, really important for us to look at all the things that are kind of going on in our lives and affecting our health and be aware of some of these things that are sometimes held in the fringes or, again, may not be clinically significant enough for a doctor to diagnose, but can be affecting you. So it's really helpful to have this information and advocate for yourself and know what conversations to have with your doctors and also understand how certain things can be impacting your body. So again, if you have any feedback, if you like this episode, would really appreciate a like and a subscribe, so that you can be notified when I go, when I post new podcasts. But also, if you're looking for more information on health coaching, that is the thing that I'm most excited about. And you can check me out at getbetterwithheather.com. So, hope you enjoyed this and take care.